Don't get boxed in by a whiteboarding app with limited functionality. Try Lucid, the visual collaboration platform that covers your team's entire spectrum of work. With Lucid, you can host virtual brainstorms and so much more. Diagram important processes, conduct cross-functional planning on an infinite visual canvas, power your workflows with data and intelligent automation, and bring your best ideas to life. Try Lucid for free at lucid.co/Spotify.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
Well, good morning, America. We got some more interesting things to report to you today about Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow. I mean, they're both in prison for the rest of their lives. But the new events, Chad's letters, we're going to get to some of Chad's letters. We have letter four, letter five. And if we're lucky, there might be a six and seven coming soon. They said that he was going to be dropping new ones every single week on certain days of the week. We'll see if we get new ones as he slowly divulges his version of the story. And it is kind of fascinating. And some are like, why are you giving it credence? I don't know, because it's a crazy story. And trying to get behind the minds of some of these people is what I find really fascinating. So that's coming up. Also, Bob Mata going to be joining us in the second hour. We're going to be talking about the Aaron Spencer case. That's the father whose daughter was SA'd by a horrible, horrible predator who then got parole, showed up at his house, kidnapped his daughter in the middle of the night. Aaron realizes his daughter's gone, goes out, finds him, and shoots him. He has to literally run this guy off the road. And in an act of self-defense, and well, because you kidnapped my daughter, he shot him. And now Aaron Spencer is being brought up on murder charges. Insane. Bob has some things to say about that. So do we. We'll have all that coming up. So be sure to hit subscribe and stick around for it. But first, Todd, Stacey, are you guys prepared, I guess, for this? I know. I think, Stacey, you've heard of this. You've heard the letter. We've talked about the letter before.
Yes.
But never quite like this.
I'm so stoked. I have a little quiz that we can play later on if you'd like to throw it.
Oh, yes.
I've got a couple of questions that we can just do a little. Is it Chad Daybell or real life Chad Daybell or Oingo Boingo, that kind of thing? Chad Daybell or fancy restaurant? So yeah, we'll play that a little bit.
Awesome.
I'm really stoked about the fact that there's going to be a new letter coming out like weekly. I mean, So I look forward to Taco Tuesday. So maybe I could have like Daybell Thursday or something. So let me know what day this comes out on.
We should have tacos with Chad's letters. I think that should be good. Well, they so far have not really been following their release schedule. They did say something about trying to put them up on Mondays. I saw the other day, but there was no new one yesterday. Okay. So there's still only five up on the website every Monday, or planned for Monday and Thursday. So maybe Thursday we'll get more, but we did get five out of the gate. So, you know, maybe Chad needs to take a breather.
Yeah. And if we can get a little something to get us through the weekend, that would be ideal.
I agree. But we'll get to more of Chad reading his story in just a little bit. But first, let's go to this. Now, this is a story like you've never heard in this way before. I can't tell you the amount of times we've read this letter on the air. I've lost track. Yeah. But this is now produced with music, with Chad's voice. This is something I would suggest turning on before going to bed.
Do we need to dim the lights?
Yes. Dim the lights. I tell you what, I sat on my porch yesterday with my laptop making this. And I did. I was literally on my porch making this. And I was finding the music and I was piecing it together. I'm like, yes, right there. Then we hit the one that kind of sounds like porn music. And then it hits.
Oh, yeah, that's the spot right there.
So,
yep.
Yeah. So it's quite a production. We'll pause as we go through it and discuss. But this is the infamous James and Elena letter as written by the prophet himself, Chad Daybell. And this was originally sent to Lori via text. And I did not edit or change any of the verbiage. When you hear weird words being thrown in there, this is Chad's writing verbatim.
So, stop a second, Tony. So for those of you on YouTube, you can see this. If you're just listening to this, you're missing a huge visual here. There is a picture of, well, I'm assuming it's AI Chad Daybell, wearing basically a suit coat without a shirt underneath. And as a woman, I feel really conflicted here.
You're turned on, aren't you?
No, I'm trying to not look at it.
Oh, wait, it animates. It animates. Like once this thing starts playing, it starts moving. So, yeah. And so does Lori.
Looks pretty good. It looks like he works out.
Does it? Does it? Or does it look like he went and got a Claiborne suit at the in the female section at Marshall's?
Well, a little bit of that. It almost looks like there's shoulder pads in there. So I guess maybe I need to see more of it to figure out exactly where I stand.
I think he went to Burlington and bought a female suit.
Buckle in, Stacey. This is good.
Oh, no. So, I need a little warning for this stuff. Please don't spring this kind of thing on me, okay?
Oh, you know what? You knew this was coming. This is...
not this.
Here we go. This is the letters. Here we go. This is the James and Elena letter on American Top 40.
Friday morning, October 26, driving south on the freeway. A voice said, "You will meet an extraordinary woman today who will change your life forever." This was shocking, since such a thing seemed very unlikely at this conference. It is actually a very detailed story that began long ago on another world, and I will cover that part as I go along and the characters figure things out. But on the morning of October
26th, love letter, by the way,
James arrived in St. George, still a bit baffled by the message he had received. He unloaded his books and set up his table, then joined the organizers for dinner in the main room. He saw his friend MG, who had been so helpful to him when he spoke in Mesa that July. MG introduced James to her friend Elena. When their hands touched, he felt a shock pass through him, and his heart started beating fast. Elena was gorgeous and vivacious, and James was a little intimidated, yet honored that she would talk to him. He was happily surprised when she mentioned a key part of his novel, The Renewed Earth. No one had ever recognized the significance of that scene before. He had heard that voice before and seen that smile before. He felt they had even talked like this before, but who could be certain when? It was strange, but he could remember. Feelings were very strong, as if they had known each other oh so long. They didn't get many chances to talk after that because he had to help voice a woman's blue Muppet. But he watched her every chance he could.
What?
Look, this is part of the joys of the Chad Daybell letter. There's shit that like autocorrect did on his phone and he never fixed. So he had to help a woman voice her blue Muppet. And I don't know what the hell that means.
Oh, no. Elmo, wait, no. The kids, that's what the kids are calling it these days. So
is there anybody besides the Cookie Monster who's blue?
Grover.
Yeah, Grover.
Thought he was green.
Nope.
No, that's Grover. Oscar. That's Oscar the Grouch. Oscar. Get okay. your Muppets right. Jesus.
I mean, I'm a little really... distracted by Chad and his chest, okay? Give me some grace right
he
now.
He has no, I think he shaves it. Or do you think that's he's just wax, naturally yeah. hairless?
That's oh, wax. God.
That's got to be a wax.
He struggles to get hair.
You guys.
So yeah, I'm warning. There's going to be moments like that where you're like, what? Like, is that a, no, this is literally his writing. He had to help her voice her blue Muppet. So
what the hell do you think the word was?
I could not figure that one.
I don't know. Voice her blue Muppet.
Cause a lot of it just, it doesn't make sense. And there's also a lot of points in here where he like just kind of talks about people without giving any context to like why they're important to the story.
Oh my God. Do you ever have friends who do that? All of a sudden they start talking about Becky and she did this and you're like, what?
Who? Yeah.
I've never heard of her before in my life.
And I always feel bad because I'm like, should I have been paying more attention? Like, should I know who this is?
Right.
And it's like, and it's no, you really can't. I don't talk like that to people. Like, I don't just like bring people up and I'll give context. Like my friend so-and-so said this, and I'll usually give too much of a backstory.
Yeah.
And you know, but it's just like, you like, why? Okay. And
that's always a weird thing. I don't get that.
So can you reset this for me? He sent this in a text to whom again?
To Lori. To her. Yeah. So this was supposed to be, and this is all came out in evidence. It was just supposed to be like this real, you know, lovey Harlequin romance type love letter where he's basically, James and Elena are these two, and he's giving them these character things, and he's actually recounting how they met because they met at a you know, end of the world conference.
That's right.
And this is kind of it's retelling their story with slightly different characters and loin fire. which when you hear that word come up in here, that's real. But he does misspell it at another point too, and he ends up saying something else. But loin fire is the word initially, and it's I don't know, it's pretty hot and steamy, everybody. So I'm just warning you.
So is he sending this love letter via text?
Yes, it's via text. Yeah. A lot of texts.
Oh my God! Thank God he's got an unlimited plan.
I mean, it's like a 30-minute. Text once we get through the whole damn thing. But that's all, like, I don't know how many, you know, bloom, bloom, bloom that took to get through.
I wonder if she had an iPhone because my battery would never have held up for that many texts.
I don't know. And this was like early on in iPhone times too. So
yeah, that's some serious battery power to be receiving text after text after text.
My mind went to what was she doing while these texts were coming in? Because if she was in the middle, anyways, hold on. I'm not necessarily going
loin
there.
Loin firing is what she was doing.
She was firing her loins. That's the
more appropriate. I'm glad we clarified that.
Yes. Okay. I was just wondering, like, you know, if you're in the middle of your day and you're trying to get stuff done and all these texts are coming through. Right.
God.
More loin fire. Another one.
Oh, God. Now his loin is on fire. Oh, God. All right. I got to get the laundry done at some point.
What's for dinner? We're going to have pork loin fire. let's continue with it.
All right.
Tiff's house that night, but he hardly slept. He kept envisioning himself with Elena in very wonderful situations that indicated they had been more than just friends.
Oh, God.
James was the first speaker on Saturday morning and knew exactly where Elena was sitting. He made sure to mention the scene from his book that they had discussed the previous evening. He was completely smitten by her and even was nervous of what she would think of his talk as he spoke. But when he would glance at her, she was always attentive and watching him, unlike the rest of the crowd. After his talk, he went to his book table. His talk had gone well, and there was a good group gathered around to buy books. His heart nearly leaped out of his chest when Elena joined him and helped sell the books. She was so beautiful that he could hardly concentrate on the customers. She straightened the books and gave the books great reviews, although she made him laugh a lot when she kept pushing the youth and fifth volumes of his first series. He could only giggle when people asked if she was his wife, because yes, in fact, she was. She just didn't know it yet. James was definitely having amorous feelings toward Elena as they sold books together. He had not felt this happy in his entire life. He was quite sure this was the woman the voice had told him about. James was ecstatic because he had already fallen deeply in love her. So, or better said, he remembered how much he already loved her. Her eyes had mesmerized him from the moment they met, but once the book sales slowed down, she stood near him behind the table. They looked deeply into each other's eyes for the first time, and he knew he was in the presence of a goddess. He resisted an impulse to kiss her, but his entire body was on fire. He instinctively knew she was everything he had ever dreamed of. I must clarify that James is a very difficult person to get information from. He has been blessed with great knowledge, but 99% of the people he knows do not realize that. He is very guarded, and it is a great task to gain his trust. But as Elena leaned forward him and asked a couple of very insightful questions, his heart burst with joy. He knew she was one of the very few people on earth he could trust. James's spirit was so excited at this revelation that he shattered a thick veil that had been placed between these two souls during their mortal lives. The thick veil had been placed because of the unique, unparalleled love James and Elena had shared in previous lifetimes. That veil had prevented them from finding each other until this appointed day that would be remembered throughout the heavens as the true beginning of a spectacular mission that would save millions of souls and defeat the forces of darkness. James' physical attraction to Elena was almost overwhelming, but he was equally drawn to the spiritual energy that was radiating from her. As they talked, it was confirmed to him that they had indeed been married before and were eternal companions. He had glimpses of them walking dusty paths together, and he realized they had been married during the life of Jesus Christ, and they had been very close to him.
Oh, God.
At this time, their spirits could not be restrained any longer, and a long-awaited makeout session took place in that lobby. This was manifest in the mortal world to James and Elena through the scientific phenomenon known as loin fire. As they talked, James had a burning desire to make love to her, but he wasn't sure she felt the same way. But they could not stay away from each other. One time she was sitting in a couch near his table.
Yeah, let's stop.
And he took a seat on a chair.
Oh, the scientific phenomenon known as loin fire.
I am not familiar with that.
It's a scientific phenomenon. Apparently you did not pay attention in class that day, Stacey.
I don't know what to say.
It was right after the periodic table of elements. It went to the loin, the LF. It's an element that very rare, and you find it only in Chad Daybell's pants, in his Dockers. That's where you find that element, the LF, in Daybell's Dockers.
Limited edition pants.
Only available at Land's End.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Loin fire.
Nothing is more of a turn. I don't know. How do you, I have to be careful what I say here. Have you ever in your life done dirty talk with somebody and somehow brought religion into the dirty talk?
I mean, no,
never.
Thank God.
I mean, loin fire and Jesus came within just stanzas of one another.
It did. It really did. I think that's what makes this so weird and creepy is that it adds like extreme religious beliefs into some sort of, you know, sexual encounter and them having makeout sessions in the temple or God. Yeah. Well, let's continue on and learn more about loin fire.
God. About 5 feet from her, she began to squirm and covered her body with her hands. So she asked him, "What are you doing?" He wasn't aware of what she meant. All he knew was that if Bruce Porter hadn't been giving them an evil eye, a child would have been conceived on that couch. Bruce, the erotic Porter. Tension continued throughout the afternoon. Bruce. James could only think of her. His desire for her was indescribable. Thankfully, she had worn 16 layers of clothing to survive the 80-degree weather. 16. So he was not fully aware that she truly had the body of a goddess. Her dimensions were exactly what he had always fantasized about, but that revelation would have to wait a month As the night concluded, James needed to take his empty boxes to his car. With Elena's help, he had sold more books at a show than he ever had before.
So many books.
She helped him carry the boxes to the car, and then he could not resist the desire to hug her. He made an awkward attempt that was way too brief, because their friends were bringing more boxes. In that short embrace, though, he knew he had found the woman he had searched for his entire life. It was made crystal clear to him that they had been married before and would be again. He once again had to fight off a powerful urge to kiss her and somehow disguise the massive erection he was experiencing.
Okay.
He returned to the building and he held.
Are you leaving? Where is she going?
Oh my God. I'd tell you what, fucking Bruce Porter. God damn that Bruce Porter that was giving him the evil eye. Otherwise, they would have made a baby on that guy.
He's always around when you don't want him, that freaking Bruce.
God damn Bruce.
I need to go turn the air conditioning on. I'm having a hot flash and I'm really concerned.
I wonder if Bruce, when he heard this letter, was like, oh, that's what they were doing.
Oh, gosh. We've lost Stacy. She's dead.
Yeah. Boom, boom. Bruce Porter. Bruce Porter. Dude.
Oh my God.
Let's listen to more Chad.
Carry tables to the second floor while she sat on the couch. They couldn't take their eyes off each other. He was already madly in love. Her group of friends finally had to leave. He was devastated. Unused, how he would ever contact her again. Then her spirit took over and asked him, can I get your cell number in case I have some questions?
Just in case.
They exchanged numbers, and then they gave each other a hug goodbye. It was the most wonderful, electric, delicious hug he had ever felt. Then he watched her walk away, knowing she was truly going to change his life forever. End of chapter one. Chapter two. James sadly walked to his car after watching Elena disappear down the hallway, but he couldn't deny their connection and his absolute attraction to her. She still seemed way out of his league, but he nervously sent her a text before driving to his hotel. A minute passed, then two, without a response. He kicked himself for thinking he ever had a chance with her. Then his phone buzzed. Elena had texted back. His heart soared. And over the next few hours, they texted back and forth dozens of times. He knew she was staying at a home in Tocqueville, and he desperately wanted to drive there and whisk her back to the hotel for a night of reconnection and romance. He twice got redressed during the night to go see her, but the spirit gently said, have patience. Everything will work out as it is supposed to. They finally stopped texting at around 4 a.m., and when he closed his eyes to sleep, he was taken again to their previous life together. The intense passion of their lovemaking was as sight to behold. He knew it would be difficult, but he could be patient if it meant he could experience that type of love just once in his life. As he lay in the hotel bed, it was as if her spirit had joined him.
Uh-oh.
They wrapped around each other and kissed gently, then intensely, and the emotions they shared were not of this world. James woke up in the hotel room feeling happier than he had in his entire life. It felt like he and Elena had fit together perfectly in every way. He rolled over to kiss her, but then reality struck.
It
was actually more than 20 miles away in Tocqueville with her Arizona friends. He texted her, and she quickly responded. He deeply regretted not going to be with her the night before. It was as if he already knew the taste of her lips. And his hands knew every curve of her body.
Pride.
He knows his dreams were somehow real and that they were actually traveling to each other in a higher dimension. He hungered for her in ways he didn't think were possible. The voice was right. Elena was going to change his life forever. He packed a suitcase and began driving north on the freeway. As each mile passed, James could feel Elena's spirit beckoning for him to join her. As he approached the Tocqueville exit, it took every ounce of willpower to keep driving on the freeway. His attraction to her was beyond magnetic. He felt their souls were two halves of an eternal union. Tears filled his eyes as he passed the freeway exit. He desperately yearned to embrace her and tell her he deeply loved her, as crazy as that sounded. But he knew he would be seeing her 3 weeks later at a conference in Arizona. It seemed like an eternity away, but he sensed it would be a very significant weekend for them. He already was crazy about her, and his feelings of admiration and affection for her would only grow more intense and wonderful. During his long drive home, James was able to text back and forth with Elena, and it was clear they were extremely compatible and shared the same interests. It felt like talking to a long-distance best friend. When he arrived home, he searched the internet for anything about her, but there was nothing. Stalking. She was a fascinating mystery that he wanted to spend the rest of eternity with. At the end of his drive, she suggested that they talk on the phone the next day. He was thrilled at the thought of hearing her voice again. He was falling more madly in love by the minute. When James heard her voice that Monday morning, the euphoria he had felt Saturday came rushing back strongly. They talked for 2 hours, but it seemed to be only minutes. He was obsessed with her and couldn't get enough. During that first phone conversation with Elena, James realized she already had a strong understanding of many of the truths he had been taught regarding how the universe really worked. The lounge fire and obsession with each other had no real explanation, unless they truly had a spiritual connection before this life. He was able to help clarify many of the promptings and impressions she had felt in recent years. She knew she had lived on Earth before, and James was able to clarify when. They had been married before on this Earth, and other times on a previous Earth. Their love truly spanned the universe and eons of time. They knew the Lord had brought them together again for a crucial mission that only they could accomplish as a united couple. During the next week, they spoke every day for at least an hour, but often longer. They hungered to know everything about each other. This was a new experience for James to open up and share the true feelings of his heart, but he knew he could trust her completely. The bond between them was intense, and only the vast distance between them kept their passion for each other from roaring into a blazing inferno. Roaring. She quickly became his best friend. Or better said, two best friends had reunited, and their prior love was now ignited again in a wonderful, heavenly way. As November began, James and Elena had talked on the phone every day since last seeing each other. He was extremely impressed with her intelligence, personality, and subtle humor that made him laugh more than he had in this lifetime. She was a complete delight to talk to, and the highlight of his day was when he could hear her magical voice. It was so familiar to him, and it actually healed and soothed his heart and soul. They would both attend the same event in mid-November, and it seemed like that day would never arrive. Each day, they opened their hearts to each other a little more. James knew he could trust her with the mysteries of the universe that had been revealed to him. He knew they had been married before, and they had been close friends with the Savior when he lived in Jerusalem. James had served in an important position in the Lord's church, and Elena had been his beloved spouse and best friend. That relationship was now meant to continue in this lifetime. In Jerusalem, James and Elena had enjoyed tremendous intimacy. Their physical desire for each other was unmatched, and they were fortunate that they could be alone morning, noon, and night, and they seized every chance to passionately express their love to each other. They simply could never get enough, even after many years of marriage. Everyone knew they were crazy about each other, and they were a wonderful example of how spouses should cleave together in love and unity. James had visions of how they would happily and joyfully pleasure each other in his office.
Oh my God.
They had two favorite positions that particularly bonded them together. Nothing meant more to James than holding Elena in his arms and unifying their bodies in perfect synchronization. Unify. As James and Elena talked on the phone, he tried to delicately describe their connection to each other, and he was delighted that she believed him. He also shared that they had been married other times on a previous world, and she accepted that information as well.
Let's pause for a second.
James was overjoyed to have these memories restored.
The voice from above would like you to pause, Todd.
Satan says pause. Yeah.
I'm sitting here, and in my mind, I'm a big game show fan, so I'm going, the password is cleave.
Ding.
I've never heard that word used in that way. Ever.
Cleave. It's a lot of words he's using in ways that are not how they're supposed to be used, but he likes to insert them. It's like Mad Libs almost.
God. This is so disturbing.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. He rambles on and the story is the story, blah, blah, blah. And then it just always gets, even for a dirty letter, it gets freaking gross.
What? I mean, it's just, yeah. here's what I mean, it's hilarious because it's so screwed up. But what I'm wondering about what's going on here in this letter is he's trying, like in his mind, he's trying to woo her. And I think they're both nuts, but I think part of his wooing is manipulating and constantly telling her what she wants to hear over and over and over. And I'm guessing at some point in this relationship in real life that they have, she has some desire to believe that they were married in a past life. Because if there's any phrase that comes up in this thing on a crazy frequent basis, it's they were married in a past life. They had this in a past life. They were together in a past life over and over and over and over. I'm guessing it's just repeating it more and more. So she believes it more and more. And it's all like a ruse to like get her in bed, because clearly that's the goal of this insane letter. But he's speaking to the weird things that speak to her and I think speak to him too in a lot of ways.
I was just going to say, I think it has a lot to do with how he thinks things need to be for this to be right, to almost come up with a reason why he's doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
So if they were together in a past life when Jesus was around, that would feed his need to make this seem okay.
Then it's totally okay that his wife dies and correct. That her kids end up dying. Because look, they were tight with Jesus. You know, they used to go over there on Wednesday nights and this was meant to be.
This was, yep.
I know. I think you're right.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.